good to be here today, as always. I'm just so thankful. As I was just going over my notes, I just thought, man, I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for our church family. I'm thankful for pastors and leaders that pray and continually move forward. I'm thankful that we serve a God that loves and cares, especially during this crazy time. I'm thankful that He is there for us. I'm thankful that we, as a body of Christ, are called to be a light in the darkness. I'm just so thankful for that tonight. And I just don't even know how to put that even into words, other than I'm just grateful for who God is in my life. I was talking to someone today, and I was like, I don't even know how people go through life without God, because I don't know where I would be without Him. Tonight, I want to share on the subject. It's all about balance. It's all about balance. Sometimes I feel like life feels like a balancing act. Do you ever feel like that? We go through life and we make sure that we don't do too much of one thing and not enough of the other. We don't want to do too much of this and not enough of that. And, you know, it's all like this big balance. When hormones get out of whack, it affects many other things, right? You can get vertigo. When we, Dee and I were talking, when we get a little older, our balance is gets a little off when we try to do cartwheels. Our walking may be hindered. You feel off, out of balance. When your checkbook is not balanced, then a lot of other parts in your life are affected. And we should be eating a well-balanced diet, right? Well, in Psalm 73, I was reading this a couple weeks ago, and verse 2 really caught my attention. Even before I read the whole psalm, verse 2, I was like, whoa, because it struck me, because that this is how I was feeling at the time. It says, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. It goes on to talk about how they believe Asaph actually wrote this, and it goes on to say how he was looking at the world and how they seem to have everything together but me. Like, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? But looking at the world, I almost slipped. I almost lost my balance. Balance. It would be weird for me to talk about balance without mentioning Charles Blondin. I'm sure that name may sound familiar to you because I know it's been used before. He was the famous tightrope walker. In 1859, he was 35 years old, and he made history when he tied a rope on the American sides of Niagara Falls to the Canadian side, and he walked across it on this tightrope, balancing. Halfway through, he stopped, and he took a couple swigs of wine, they said, and then he kept going. One of his famous endeavors was when he walked across it, and halfway through, he took out a cooking stove, and he made an omelet right there in the middle of it, 160 feet above water, and there he is, balancing on this tightrope. Let's just say he knew all about balance. He knew what he needed to have balance. The closest thing that I will ever get to a tightrope is this balance beam. I tried a ropes course once. I will never do that again. I don't even know what I was thinking, so I will stick to this. You see, so many things can go wrong when you're on a balance beam, even one this small. I teach little kids, so I see it all the time. You could step on it, and you could lose your footing and fall. An ankle could get broken. You could slip. You could hurt yourself. And sometimes, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I'm on this balance beam, and I'm about to fall off, and there's nothing that I can do about it. Tonight, as I said, we're going to talk about balance. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that we can go to you with everything that we're going through, that you are a God that does not change. And tonight we lift you up. We put you at the center, God. Use your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I teach little kids to go across this balance beam, I teach 2 and 3-year-olds. And so the first time, I wish I had a little Judah to help me out, but the first time I grabbed both of their hands, and we walk across like this. And once they get comfortable with that, I'll grab one hand, say, come on, you can do it. Let's go, let's go. And once they get comfortable with that, I actually have my hands right underneath their armpits, not touching them, but they think that I'm there, right? So they go across. And once I convince them that they really are walking across this balance beam by themselves, they then walk across and they jump up and they are so excited that they did it by themselves. But they don't start out that way. Even the most confident kid does a little wiggle when they think I can do it myself, does a little wiggle and reaches for my hand. But eventually they learn to balance. And so when I thought about that, I was teaching a couple months ago, and that thought actually came to my mind as I'm walking across. And it's great when you teach 2 and 3-year-olds, because when you walk across this balance beam, they will cheer you on. And you're like, yes, I'm winning. And the question just came to my mind, like, how do I stay balanced in a Christian walk, in my Christian walk? How am I going to stay balanced in my Christian walk? So I began to pray, and then I read that verse, and I'm like, yeah, God, I really need some help right now. I need to learn how to be balanced in my walk. And the first thing that I heard was, listen. Listening is key to living a balanced life. We learn from an early age to listen to your mother, listen to your father, listen to your teacher. We have to follow directions. We have to listen. But how do we hear if we are constantly talking, constantly trying to figure it out on our own? Until we take the time to be quiet, to be still, we will have a hard time hearing God. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." You see, I spend a lot of time talking to God throughout my day. So much time that sometimes I'll be in my car and I'll just be talking, literally talking to him, and Addison will be like, "You're doing it again." Like, I don't even realize. Like, he's literally my best friend. Like, he really is. He listens to me. He loves me when I'm happy, sad, mad, frustrated, excited, all the whole bit. But if I keep talking all the time, which I'm not a big talker, but if you ask God, I am. If I keep talking, I won't be able to hear him speak to me. And when I continually tell God everything that's happening without listening to what he's saying, then my words are just out in the air. But really what it means is I'm trying to figure it all out on my own because I'm not really listening to what he's saying. And that's why I love this story in 1 Kings. And I know, again, we've heard it before, but for tonight's purposes, I'm going to briefly mention it. We have Elijah, right? And prior to the moment that we're going to read about, God uses him to bring about 2 great miracles. And I love how this story starts because it's basically a, like, my God is better than your God, little g, right? My God's better than yours. Let's see what yours can do, and I'll show you what mine can do. And then God does this miracle through him. He sends down fire from heaven, and everyone's like, whoa, your God's really the God. And then through him sends rain after a drought. But then after that, a word gets back to Jezebel. And she says, you know what? Because you've slaughtered the prophets of Baal, I'm coming after you, and I'm gonna kill you. And the Bible says he's scared. And I know he gets a lot of flack for running, right? But I think about it this when I read it. He had 2 big moments in life. 2 God moments. 2 moments where God really used him. Do you know what happens? What sets in after a big moment sometimes? What sets in after you have a win sometimes? Fatigue, discouragement, depression. It's almost like, well, what can happen now? And see, that's where Elijah was when we find him here. In verse 9, it says, "But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" See, he ran away. He's like, "I'm done. I'm running. I don't want to be killed by this person, by this woman." And Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but God was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. The Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied again. And it was so important that actually God gave me another message as I was reading this, because he said it again. Sometimes you just have to say things again to just kind of vent and to get it off of your chest. And he was allowing Elijah to do that at this time. He said, "I've zealously served the Lord, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down their altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came. Go back." God continues to tell Elijah, "You're not done. Listen to me. You're not done. You still have work to do. You ran away, and you thought you would hear me in this big earthquake. You thought you would hear me in this fire. You thought you would hear me in a windstorm. But I'm telling you in this whisper, go back. You're not done. I still have so much more for you to do." How are we ever going to find that encouragement and strength and balance in life if we don't stop, be still, and hear God in the whisper? Because in the whisper, God will tell you what's next. In the whisper, God will say, "You're not done." God will say, "I'm still using you. Go back." Mother Teresa said, "God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer." How do we stay balanced? We begin to listen instead of talk all the time. The second thing is we have to remember our core. Anytime someone goes across this balance beam, especially when they're older, us teachers yell things like this: "Tighten your core, be strong, find your center." The same words are used as dancers turn and jump and kick. In fact, many of our judges' critiques are often lead back to the core. "All right, honey, tighten your core." And I just want to shake my dancers like, "I keep telling you this." In the gym, you hear coaches yell out, "Engage your core." Anytime we feel like we are off center in life, we have to remember our core. What's at the center? What's at the center of your life? What's happening there? Even the strongest athletes have trained their bodies to engage their core. Because from the core, everything works better. You're more balanced. You're more apt to be able to do something. I remember when Addison actually did her first double turn. It's when you go around twice like this. Her eyes got really big, and I said, "Now what did you do to get that turn?" And she sheepishly looked at me and goes, "I tightened my core." She didn't want to admit that I was right. But that was the very thing that helped her do something that she was not able to do. Even in Psalm 73, the verse I opened with, at the end, Asaph realizes this. He says in verse 26, "My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." God remains the strength of my heart. He took his eyes off of the world and he put them back on God because he remembered where his core was. He remembered the strength of his heart. He remembered who was center of his life. We sing the song, "Jesus at the center of it all." And I guess I would ask, is he? Is he the center of your life, center of everything? Is he at your core? Is he the strength of your heart? We have to make sure we're prioritizing time with him, focusing on him, worshiping him. That's how we remember our center. That's how we remember our core. We have to make God a part of our daily routine. I love what David says in Psalm 119. He says, "I will praise you 7 times a day. See, David made God a daily part. He prioritized God 7 times a day. He was prioritizing God. Matthew 9:11, the Lord's Prayer says, "Give us today our daily bread." Daily, today. We have to keep him at our center daily. We have to think about it, act on it, and remember our core so we don't get off balance in life. I think of it this way. what I am facing doesn't change who God is. What you're going through, it doesn't change who God is. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I do not change. So even though the world changes around us, God does not. And that's why he should be the center of everything that we do. We find our balance by keeping God as our core, as our center. Another thing to stay balanced in our Christian walk is we have to continue. Honestly, sometimes this is the hardest part. As much as I want to stay on this balance beam, and I want to be perfect with my arms out and my head up, eventually my legs, they might be a little shaky, and I might actually slip off. I don't want to, but I'm human. I'm going to mess up, right? I might lose my footing every once in a while. The easy thing for me to do is to say, well, I was never good at it anyway. I might as well just give up. It really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, what if I don't ever walk on a balance beam again? It's not going to make a difference. Obviously, that's a metaphor for life. But it does matter. The phrase, get back on the horse, is the first half of a longer expression. They usually say, get back on the horse that bucked you, or get back on the horse that threw you. This idea is that the longer one dwells on a failure, the bigger that failure becomes in your mind. The longer you dwell on a failure, the bigger the failure becomes in your mind. That's why they say to keep going, to get back up. When a kid falls off the balance beam and dance, let's say they're like right here and they slip, I go whoop and I pick them up. I said, let's go again, right away. And they kind of look at me. Are they hesitant? Yeah. Are they a little scared? Yeah. But I take their hand and we try again and we keep going. We keep continuing until they're strong again to be able to do it by themselves. We have to continue. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. In 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 10, it says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Our bodies continue. The word continue means to resume an activity after interruption. There may have been an interruption in your life, but we are called to keep going. There may have been something that you weren't expecting, but we are called to continue. Not to strive for perfection, not to be amazing at everything, not to run away, not to hide, not to give up, but to continue. Continue. I love what Paul says to Archippus in Colossians 4:17. He says, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. He encourages them to carry it out, to keep going. Sure, you're going to get mad. Sure, you're going to want to quit. Sure, you might fall off the balance beam. And if you're not careful, you might start looking in the wrong places for fulfillment. But don't give up. Make your way back. The righteous person falls seven times, but he gets back up. We have to keep going. Get back up. Continue. Carry out the ministry that God has given to you. Continue. Proverbs 4:25 through 26 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. To live a life of balance, make sure you keep going and you continue to move in the direction that God has for you. And finally, gratitude. In positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. Two psychologists of University of California and the University of Miami have done much research on gratitude. In one study, they asked all participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. One group wrote about things that they were grateful for and had occurred during the week. Another group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third wrote about events that had affected them with no emphasis on being positive or negative. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more and had fewer visits to the doctor's office than those who focused on sources of aggravation. Isn't that something? That when you're thankful, it not only affects your mental state, but it affects your physical state as well. In Psalm 50:23, it says, "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God." Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors God. That's what gratitude does. It honors God. And I know I said this story a few weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. The story of the lepers, when Jesus heals them, one comes back. 10 were healed, one comes back. Jesus said, "Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." And because of the leper's thankfulness, that man experienced a whole nother level of relationship with Jesus. He wasn't just physically healed, he was spiritually renewed in his faith. Even Jesus gave thanks and showed us that gratitude can begin with very little. It's the story of the fishes and loaves. When it seemed like him and his friends wouldn't have enough to eat, Jesus looked up to heaven and thanked God for the food that they had. In Mark 6:38-44, Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." So they found out, and the disciples came back, and they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus directed them, go sit in groups, and then he said, he does this, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. He gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them. They all ate, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls after that. When Jesus looked up and gave thanks to God, the little that they had turned into an abundance. When we thank God for what little maybe we have, that little that we have will turn into an abundance. Every time we flex our gratitude muscle, we get stronger. We have to remember to thank God daily for what he has done, for what he's helped us with, for what he's gotten us through, for who he is. There are some days that I don't know what to say to God. I don't know what to do. I just simply say thank you. After a big event, anytime after I speak, I make sure to get in my car and I start playing, "Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord." And if I can't find it on my phone quick enough, I just start singing. Because I don't ever want to neglect the fact that the only reason that I'm standing here is because of who he is. And that alone is enough to say, thank you, God. If you want to live a well-balanced Christian walk, we have to stay in an attitude of gratitude. It's not just a cool saying, but to really embody thankfulness in our walk because of who he is. Gratitude will always lead to a balanced life. So how can we have a balanced Christian walk? We can listen to God. We can remember him as our core, as our center. We continue our walk. Keep going. You slip, keep going. Get around people that'll grab you. Say, "Let's go. You can do this. You got this." And give God gratitude on a daily basis. Let's stand together tonight. God, I thank you. We do. We just come before you and we say thank you. God, if you never do another thing for us, we know that we are here because of who you are, but we know that you won't leave us where we are. We know that you want to take us further. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to keep you at our center. Help us to keep going. And help us to continually just say thank you. We honor you tonight. We pray for our cities. We pray for our nations, God. Help us to be that light. Help us to show your love to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, give her a hand tonight. We got 3 more minutes, don't we? I want to try it. Help me. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. No, I won't be afraid. Don't leave, Aaron. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you, who else wants to do it? Stand by me. I'm going to give her one more point. Elijah ran off by himself, got under the broom bush. Am I saying it right? Yeah. He got off on his own. He got away from the pack. But if you'll stay with the pack, no, I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. You stay in the pack. You stay in the house. You stay with God's people. You know what Elijah said? I'm remembering this. He said, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. Didn't he say that, Grandpa? I'm the only prophet left. I'm the only one left. And the truth was, he wasn't the only one left. He just felt like he was the only one left. Someone here tonight, feel all alone. Someone watching from home, feel all alone. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Grab the hand next to you. Just as long, look them in the eyes, as you stand by me. Darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Would you stand by me. Stay in the house. Give the Lord a praise tonight. Father, we pray against depression, anxiety, and even the demonic forces that would drive us to be alone, to drive us to say, I'm the only one left. There's no one else. I pray in Jesus' name, you grab the hand of that person. You grab the belt loop of that person. Pull them back into the house of the Lord so we can stand with them. So we can be that support and that love. God, allow us those type of connections. We thank you for it tonight. Would you just tell the Lord thank you just for a minute. Just lift your hand to the Lord. Maybe you're not used to that. Just tell him tonight. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on. Come on, keep your hand up and tell the Lord, I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make through. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. He won't fail. I speak that into a heart. Faith. He won't fail. He won't. Man, I love you so much. Don't you feel his presence here tonight? Man, I feel his presence in this place. We love you so much. We're so glad you joined us tonight. I'd like to ask each of you to do something as you leave here tonight. Pull your phone out. Share this on your Facebook page. I really feel in my heart someone needs to hear this tonight. Maybe just write a little explanation if you need some encouragement, something, and share it on Facebook tonight. Yeah, you feel that, don't you, tonight? Amen. Thank you, Lord. This Sunday, my dad is going to preach a message entitled The Cost of Sacrifice. Man, I see this up here tonight. I know that this week is a special week. This is going to be a special service for those that join. And I want to just give you a personal invitation. Drag somebody along with you. Smile at somebody on your way out tonight. God bless you so much. We love you. Come on and bless Aaron tonight.